Bring on the bimbos.
Bimbo.
Who's this bimbo?
Bimbos. Got that bimbo?
Got a bimbo.
You gonna have them bimbos. I'll keep my women like Flojo.
Caught him cheating with some bimbo.
Well, bimbos make me want to pretend to be a better man.
Elaine, he's a male bimbo.
That story's messed up. Yes, Jeff, I am wearing men's clothes. I just got out of my bimbo session with one of my favorite bimbos. And, you know, I feel really bad for my wife and child. And that story is messed up. That story.
Please put your nipples on straight.
It doesn't seem like it's real.
No, those are called loonies. Did you know that? When you put the balloons in your shirt when you're one of these guys like Christy Noem's husband. Now, Christy Noem is the disgraced head of the Department of Homeland Security, I believe. No longer doing that. I don't know if she has some make-good title. But
I wish South Park would come back with a special episode about this.
Oh, I know. And she, you know, has been banging this Corey Lewandowski guy.
His name is Lebowski? That's your name, dude.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Since I think the first... Anyway, this is all alleged.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But she, you know, everybody in Washington, the rumor mill... They talk about her and they talk about this Corey Lewandowski, and her poor husband is just like a bimbo addict. Now, bimbos are what? Girls with really big fake boobs, really big fake butts, and they wear like a lot of makeup. They look like bimbos, you know. Evangeline comes to mind, maybe. Is that you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. That,
she used to be on billboards.
I always thought a bimbo was just like a dumb blonde.
Yeah, that's what I used to think it was, but apparently now, like everything else, it's a fetish. So this guy, I'm going to look up his name because I don't want to keep saying this guy. Byron Noem. Now, they got married in 1991, I believe. 92, it says, in Watertown, South Dakota. They've been married a long time, and she said she's devastated by this. But meanwhile, she's not devastated. She's, you know, she and Corey are buddies. It might be embarrassing, I would say so. But man, oh man, those pictures. How do you not get embarrassed by that?
How do you not finish getting dressed up?
Yeah.
Why show a picture at that point?
Because he doesn't put the makeup on, I don't think. I think that he's some sort of I want to say this without, you know, triggering YouTube, but he gets all worked up because he's looking at bimbos and he's dressing like bimbos, right? So if those pictures exist, obviously there's pictures of him taking care of himself, right?
Yeah.
Those just haven't been really. I can't wait. I want to see them. And I want to do some, Jeff, have you ever done loony? Have you ever done loonin?
Like, no.
The balloons in there with the little twisty things at the end of the balloon or what are poking out is the, you know, askew nipples.
What kind of shirt is he wearing? It looks like a stocking.
Some kind of bodysuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty gross. What is bimbofication is a fetish. Okay, so I'm looking at the progressivetherapeutic.com of Australia. It can be considered a
practice. You're not looking at your chart from the psychiatrist?
No, I was cured. I was cured. Bimbofication can be considered a practice, kink, and or fetish that involves role-playing and transforming oneself into a stereotypical portrayal of a bimbo. It's important to understand that this kink is consensual and resolves around embracing a playful, sexually confident persona. So he's a man. He's all man.
So he's sending these pics to other women, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah, must be.
Well, it's like, what? How much money did he spend on doing this? I'm trying to figure out where the money comes in.
Here's a model saying that she was paid $25 a minute to talk to her husband. He was the cross-dresser. So this is Lydia Love, a webcam model for the chat site Cam Soda, which I've never heard of ever in my life or seen.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That Noem's husband liked to perform for her during intimate video sessions. So that's
and he would pay her.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's not paying him.
I don't know.
He was into the bimbofication scene, a role-playing kink. And this Love girl said that she recognized the images when they came out. So then she was, you know, confident. Here's what she said. She said he liked to play a submissive role and she would be a femdom. I don't know why anybody would pay for this online. He would try to talk more feminine. His kink was yoga pants. He wanted to be the star of the show and show off, so she would hype him up. So this is what he was doing, this weirdo. And everybody has weird things. I am assuming that most people do. Some of them go way overboard. This guy went way overboard, got caught, and now he's embarrassed. But the thing is, nobody will remember it in a year.
I feel kind of bad for him.
You do? Why?
I don't know. Like, Kristi Noem's not paying that much attention to him. He's able to do, like, hours and hours of bimbofication play.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think it started with her not paying attention to him? No. Yeah. This started with her and him.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yeah. That's the...
Well, look at her. She's had, you know, lip injections and the facial work and the hair.
Yeah, she's bimbotified herself.
She's a MAGA mom bimbo. Oh, probably shouldn't say that. I don't want to upset anybody. But there are a lot of clowns in the news this week. A perennial clown. I don't even know if I'm using that word correctly. But Tiger Woods last week on Friday got in another car accident while he was driving under the influence of some sort of drug. And he probably will get off because he didn't do a urine test. And by the time they do the blood test, all that stuff will be out of his system. And of course, when it happened, well, I don't know, in the late afternoon, you know, the Masters is coming up. He's I think, three or four majors behind on the all-time majors list, which is held by Jack Nicklaus. Yeah, it's never going to happen, Tiger. And all it was funny because I kept seeing that, hey, Trump's granddaughter and ex-daughter-in-law are doing fine. They weren't in the car with him. Because he's dating Donald Trump's former daughter-in-law, who's she, Laura Trump? And, you know, and the granddaughter, I think her name is Kai. So he's like, no, we don't let them ride around in the car with him. Because Trump knows. Trump, they're friends. But I would have to say, Tiger, you're done, man. You're done. This guy's had a million surgeries. He has to take painkillers just to move. So...
Gets in a car wreck every few years.
Yeah. You'd think they'd throw him out of that town he lives in because he's always rolling over cars. He probably won't get charged because he refused field sobriety. He refused the urine test, which means he got immediately arrested. And without doing a blood test, all those drugs will be out of his system. So it'll just be up to the judge, I guess. And the reason I brought up the clowns in the news is our buddy Josh, and more on Josh shortly. Josh Warren sent me a story saying that dozens of clowns in La Paz, Bolivia, are protesting a new government rule requiring 200 school days per year. Now, why is this? Because kids get off a lot of days of school in Bolivia, and these clowns go and do shows to make them happy. I can't imagine that happening here because kids hate clowns.
I support the clowns protest.
You do?
Yeah, and I think we should maybe start some here in support of them in Bolivia.
Yeah, well, why don't you go to clown school?
Yeah, me?
Clown college.
Oh, yeah.
I'm too old. I can't go
back.
That's
hard to get in.
If I'm going to Bolivia, I'll probably just march.
This is a little tutor of Bolivian agreement powder.
Yeah, you'll march with him. I don't know. I didn't do well enough on my clown SATs, so I'd have to go to like a state school, and I really want to go to the Harvard of clown colleges.
Which I believe is in Costa Rica.
It is. Marcel Marceau Clown College.
No, this one is in Costa Rica. Marcel Marceau Clown College is good, but they're really lean into the mimes. The one in Costa Rica is the best one, I think.
I love the fact that I don't know what day it is sometimes, but I can remember that the Clown College of Clown Colleges is in Costa Rica.
I just thought you made it up and we were in. Yeah, so the reason I bring up Josh, we talked a little bit about Lizzie and Clown College on the most recent episode of my radio show, the Tim Andrews podcast on WSB, which you can find as a podcast on your favorite podcatchers. Just look that up. But Josh was on, Josh Warren was on with Bob Wood from Relapse Theater, which used to be on 14th Street and closed, and now it's reopening again. So you can check out.
Where's the new one going to be?
Well, you can check out the episode.
Oh, okay. Got to listen.
It was a good episode. It was fun.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I had a blast talking to those guys. I just don't remember the exact name. It was where we saw Vape.
It's at the old Village Theater.
Yeah,
Village. Okay.
Yeah. And
or
I just
Limelight. It was also the Limelight at one point.
Right. And Jeff, the last time I was in that theater, I was with Jeff, and we saw Vape the musical from our friends at Sketchworks. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. I love Bob's a great guy. He's very funny. We talked an awful lot about local comedy. He brought up Rory Scovel, who would do benefits and stuff for the club. So that was pretty cool.
He's on that new show Rooster. Yeah, you haven't watched it yet, Rory Scovel.
I don't watch anything. You know that.
Oh, I did. Watch. Did you see Eugene Merman get in a car accident this morning?
No.
Is he with Tiger Woods?
And everyone was trying to figure out if it was an April Fool's joke or not, but it's not. It was a fire. They said he survived it, but he's in ICU.
Oh no. Shit.
Yeah.
Damn, when did this happen? Today?
This morning or yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
In Connecticut, I think.
Eugene Merman revealed his man pulled from fiery crash. Dude, that sucks.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, me too.
Voice actor. That's what they're calling him. He's a fucking comedian, too. He's a very funny guy. And then Josh sent us this one is, we have to say sorry to Josh Warren. Jeff, you post this story about the Bigfoot. What is this story?
Yeah, they're saying that they've uncovered this footage of like a run through of the Patterson-Gimlin film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where the guy's like obviously in the suit and like getting prepared to do this Bigfoot walk.
Oh, so they came across new video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like the cutting room floor stuff.
Uh-huh.
With the head off and
why didn't they destroy that?
Yeah, dummies.
But the part that gets me is the whole Bigfoot world is kind of using this one film being found out to be fake to knock the entire thing, the entire Bigfoot.
Well, because this was like the most known footage of Bigfoot, and everybody like debunked, or they couldn't debunk it at the time.
Right.
Could it be the new video evidence that surfaced, like AI or deepfake?
The people are saying that, yeah.
Jeff, does this change your mind about Bigfoot? You love all the Bigfoot shows. Why do you watch those? Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
Why do you watch all those shows then?
It's just funny to watch.
He wants to believe in Bigfoot.
Yeah. Squatch.
They hear some noise in the woods and they're like, oh, that's Bigfoot. Definitely Bigfoot.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely Bigfoot.
Jones worked with a guy that is like a Bigfoot hunter. I wouldn't say hunter, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like he goes camping, plays for Bigfoot. He says he saw him in McIntosh Park near Carrollton, Georgia, or it'd be mm-hmm. Whitesburg, I think.
Did he have his phone with him and take a picture of him?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, of course not. No, there's no pictures on cell phones. We've had cell phones with cameras in them for what now?
30 years.
16 years? No, cell phones with cameras. Like the first one, I guess, was what, the iPhone?
No.
Good camera.
The Razor had a camera on it.
Yeah, but not, good cameras, more than 1 megapixel, yeah, was iPhones. But also people were saying that the fact that cars have been around as long as they have and they've hit everything, you know, yeah. All these, you know, animals that you don't see very often, even in the wild, there's been some that have been hit by cars, but there's never.
Well, have you ever seen Harry and the Hendersons?
Bigfoot. That's the only one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I interviewed a guy a couple of years ago and I just found that this is also on the podcast. It's episode number 80 called I Believe in Bigfoot. And it was local filmmaker Kelly Lockman who joined me to talk about the project. And he brought in these like rocks and stuff that, you know, if
what, castings,
no, not castings of the foot. They were stones that he alleges were used as tools by Bigfoot. And it was pretty compelling. I wasn't going to dismiss it immediately. There was a series called I Believe in Bigfoot. And he made the show. He was a nice guy. And I thought the stuff was sort of convincing. I still believe in Bigfoot. I think that.
So you believe in Bigfoot, but not the Loch Ness Monster?
No, because there's no way. First of all, a plesiosaur, whatever the thing is called, the Loch Ness Monster, it was a saltwater reptile, I guess. And first of all, there would have to be a family of them there because nothing lives for a million years, right? That's why I don't believe.
Well, that and the food source, it would have to have enough food to survive something that large. And Loch Ness doesn't have that much life in it.
Right. So that, I don't believe in that. I also don't believe in the Chessie, which is the Chesapeake Bay monster. I think if they went in there, they would. No, I don't believe in the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, the only real one is the New Jersey Devil.
Yes, I believe in that. And the Chupacabra, I believe in that. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline. It's tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline is Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub. You can get a huge slab of cake, some waffles, maybe some pancakes and sausage. That way you're satisfied and full while you're having a beer and watching very funny comedy. Coming up this weekend, Sahib Singh, April 8th through the 11th, it's the World Series of Comedy. April 11th, you have Chris Andrade. April 16th, Chris Brown. April 17th through the 19th, J. Chris Newberg. April 20th, Mary Ryan Brown. Patreon members, keep your eyes open for a weekly giveaway to win a pair of passes to see an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows. What's going on with Reese's?
Yeah, they caved after the grandson was complaining. A couple weeks ago, we talked about it.
Yeah. So what are they going to do?
They're going to fix the Kit Kats first.
Okay.
And then they promise to start using only milk chocolate and dark chocolate in a bunch of their stuff, but not everything.
Well, as long as it's in their, you know, Primo stuff. Do you see like how many
Reese's peanut butter cups?
Yeah, hopefully.
And fix the peanut butter, because that's changed too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fix it all, Hershey. Do you see that all those Kit Kats? Where was that?
Poland.
Yeah, the tons of Kit Kats got stolen.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How do you get away with that much? And where did they go? I think Putin did it. a couple other stories. Sesame Street, classic episodes of Sesame Street are coming to Tubi, so you can watch it as it was always meant to be watched, with commercials interrupting it at weird times. But it's early years through season 38, so that's kind of cool. 250 episodes. I love to watch Sesame Street episodes with my son. He's not a big fan of the show, but when I put on old episodes, especially the ones that have a bunch of clips of the cartoons or songs from the 70s and 80s, he's fascinated because it's real animation. It's not this crazy stuff that you see on YouTube. And he's learning things, and he likes those songs. Like, he loves the two Tom Lehrer songs, Silent E and L-Y. You know those songs?
Yeah.
And he really loves those songs, and they helped us all learn. And, yep. And you know, as well as our parents in school and stuff. But one thing he always asks me is, where's Elmo? And I said, well, Elmo wasn't born yet, but his uncle is on there, his Uncle Telly. And he goes, oh, okay. So no Elmo, but she doesn't care about Elmo, which I also like, because there's everything before Elmo, Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's when Sesame Street jumps the shark, when Elmo.
Wait, you talking shit about Elmo?
Yeah, Elmo sucks.
Stop.
No, Elmo's awful. Elmo destroyed that show.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it right now.
No, Elmo, die.
That is not very nice at all.
All right. Well, why don't you go find a different job? Maybe do something else, or maybe go dark. Maybe do a noir thriller or something, Elmo. Can you do that?
No, Tim. I can't. I'm red and I'm cute and people like to see me.
Well, why?
Have you ever thought about shutting your mouth?
No, never.
Getting off the radio?
Nope. Let me tell you why. Because
sticking your hand up another puppet's ass?
Well, I like that. I can go get my puppet. My puppet will fight you and kill you, Elmo. You have legs and all. But there's what they did with all the, was what they did with everything. Once the 90s came around, everything stopped being about educating, about, you know, the basics that you need to know. And they started talking about feelings and the environment and this and that. And, you know, the characters that they introduced in Sesame Street in the latter days, it's like, my mommy has a drug problem. Okay.
The original Elmo's world, though, that was still about, like, when he gained huge popularity and they gave him his own segment, which was Elmo's World. Yeah. That was still about education.
Okay.
The new one, where they shortened it and changed the song and all that stuff and made it, like, a cartoon. And then, I blame Abby Kadabi for ruining Sesame Street, not Elmo.
Is Abby Kadabi the one with, my mom's a drug addict?
I don't know. She's the one with wings and a tutu?
Yeah, or maybe she's the one who has...
Oh, that's Christy Noem's husband.
Yeah.
Well, they had to change the first when the voice guy got busted.
For what?
Yeah, he did some Me Too shit, I think.
Yeah, a lot of it. Enough to get him fired from it, and they had to replace him.
Yeah.
So Elmo was like, hey, I'm Elmo. You want to come home?
Yeah. During the Me Too movement, you could look at a woman and get fired. So, yeah.
Weren't you charged with sexually abusing a 16-year-old?
Elmo, no comment.
I stand with Elmo.
I want to do this new segment. If you guys don't want to do it, that's fine. I want to call it trailer trash, even though we're not trashing them, because these are trailers that we're going to talk about. Did you guys have a chance to watch them?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, fuck it. We'll just roll into it. So I watched the other day the Supergirl trailer with, what's her name? Millie Alcock. And I watched it, and I hadn't looked at anything about it. I hadn't looked at social media. I hadn't looked at, the Takedown guys or the other types. And I watched the trailer, and I thought, wow, this looks really fun. This looks cool. I like her anyway. The
House of the Dragon.
Or House of the Dragon. And I thought she was great on that. So I watched it, and I'm like, this is something I'm going to go see in the theater. It looks good. And plus, you have Jason Momoa doing, what's his name?
Lobo. Yeah.
And finally, he has a better character than the one he had before in that universe, which was Aquaman. And I thought, wow, this looks really great. And then a little bit later on, I start seeing the Vanity Fair interview that she did, where she starts saying, well, it's so hard to exist as a woman in this, in blah, 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 blah. You know, all that stuff from 7 years ago that you know, because she's a kid, for one thing. And another thing is that you have the Vanity Fair journalist asking the questions and doing these polarizing things. And she, why would anybody give her backlash for playing a character named Supergirl who has always been a girl when Helen Slater played her in the 80s? I don't recall there being any backlash. So it's all manufactured. You know what I mean? And then I went home and I'm looking through my YouTube feed and the Takedown guys are like, she's just ruining it. And I'm like, I am not going to get wrapped up in this. I'm not getting wrapped up in it. I'm going to go with my initial gut feeling was, I watched the trailer. This looks good. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to see it in the theaters.
And I get it. She's a young person. And I don't know, are you coached to say these things? People are going to have a hard time with a woman playing a woman. No one's going to have a hard time with it. So, and that could have been taken out of context, and it's an overall conversation. But I'm just done. I'm not going to go looking at these Takedown shows, talking about something that I've already watched and thought, wow, this looks really good. So.
Millie Alcock is actually more comic book accurate than Helen Slater's character was.
Yeah, Helen Slater was too pretty.
Yeah.
Well, and she was too nice and too, gentle and, yes. You know, she's better as Billie Jean.
Have we talked about how she's not related to Christian Slater?
No.
That's his sister.
That's his sister.
It's not.
Really?
They're not related at all.
Has that been a lie my entire life?
They played brother and sister.
In what? Gleaming the Cube?
No, in Billie Jean. Billie Jean. Legend of Billie Jean.
I don't remember him in that. I only saw it once.
He was the one he was the little brother that had the scooter that got busted up and started the whole thing.
And she was like, you're going to get eaten by gators.
We will be invincible. Isn't that?
Is that really not real?
They're not related.
My mind's blown right now.
Yep.
All right. More trailer trash. Anybody watch the Masters of the Universe trailer?
This looks way better than the Dolph Lundgren one.
The Dolph Lundgren. Wasn't there one after that in between these two? Or the first one. Okay.
Yeah.
But the Dolph Lundgren one was so bad that it's good. We saw it at the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it had absolutely nothing to do with Masters of the Universe. Everything was here. Nothing was on Eternia at all.
Right.
So what's the plot of this one where He-Man, what's his real name? He has a real name. We'll just call him He-Man.
Prince Adam
is living on Earth. But I really don't know the whole lore because I didn't watch He-Man.
They Moses him away when he was a baby.
Okay, so like Superman.
Tuck him to Earth so Superman he can be safe on the other side of the universe.
Right.
And then Skeletor basically decimates Eternia and takes it over. And then a group of his family that's still, I think it's Tia, takes a spaceship, goes back to Earth, gets him, brings him back so he can fight Skeletor and take his homeland back. That's the basic plot.
All right. Well, I thought the trailer looked good. That's a good popcorn movie.
Yeah, they hit all the nostalgic hits, you know, that you need for a movie like that. People complaining about Jared Leto, but I mean, his voice finally came out on this most recent trailer, yeah. which they hadn't done his voice yet. And so everybody was expecting the meme Skeletor voice, the sassy, feminine sounding voice. But I mean, it's OK. It looks OK. I mean, it looks like a modern interpretation of He-Man with all the bells and whistles.
Is Jared Leto producing it? Is that why he's playing Skeletor?
No, I think he just wanted the role. Because his voice is a little, it's got a little effect on it, and he doesn't show his face. So why he played it, I don't know. I don't know why anyone hires Jared Leto personally.
I don't either. He was terrible as the Joker.
I mean, he was okay in that last, in Eros, the Tron movie.
He did produce that.
Yeah, he was a producer on it. Yeah.
And the last one I put in here, my initial reaction was why, but it looks like something I'm going to watch, the new Cape Fear series. I didn't know they were remaking it, but it looks really good. Amy Adams and Javier Bardem doing the, playing in a movie that I really, really loved that Martin Scorsese directed. He doesn't usually do noir, didn't really do noir, but it was good. That movie was so good. With Robert De Niro, Jessica Lange, who I think got an Oscar for it, and Nick Nolte.
Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, Juliette Lewis, that's right. And then, of course, the amazing Simpsons parody where they're on the boat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Macho Bob. My favorite scene from that entire episode is when Bart's trying to sleep.
Appreciate you not coming in my room screaming and brandishing a butcher knife.
Bart, do you want to see my new chainsaw and hockey mask?
Ah! Oh, sorry. What am I thinking?
But yeah, I think it'll be cool.
It looks good, but yeah, I don't have Apple good. TV.
Nah, just buy an iPhone.
Yeah.
You guys are going to force me into switching back to iPhone. It's not going
to
happen.
I'll be able to text Joe again.
Yeah. Yeah. Thumbs up. That's not Lizzie sent a thumbs up.
What does it do? Is that what it says? It doesn't give a thumbs up?
Yeah, they don't attach to the pictures or anything. Yeah. It gives you a whole new message.
Lizzie did a smiley face to Jeff's photo.
Listen, I think you Apple users are kind of jerks.
Okay? I'm not a jerk about it unless somebody's using a non-Apple phone.
Dude, y'all are bullies.
I'm not a bully. I'm not going to force you to get one. Obviously, I can't. Hey, I want to thank our sponsors for Radio Labyrinth, our long-running partners in this little scheme of a podcast we have. Starting with Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They are over in Conyers, which is Dustin's neck of the woods, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a family-owned restaurant in Conyers with the best local craft beer and delicious Greek and Italian specialties, all made fresh to order. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Talking about some of the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties. So just go out there and munch down and have a couple of brews and say that we sent you. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m., the food truck season is upon us, and they have a number of event dates scheduled through the fall. So if you're interested in possibly booking Atlanta Pizza in Euro for a corporate or private event, please give Mike a call at 770-483-6228. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by another longtime friend, our buddy Brett, at LDI. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, then all you got to do is contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. They got fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Is views
or
and snooze.
Snooze. Yeah, last week was Bait, which I haven't watched yet, but it looks good. Something Very Bad is going to Happen. Did you guys watch this? I watched the first two. It's pretty good.
I haven't, but I heard it's good.
Yeah, I'm really into it. I just don't want to binge it all at once. And Mike and Nick and Alice, which was really good. I was surprised. There was this is that movie on Hulu with Vince Vaughn. It ended up being way better than I thought it was going to be.
There's two Vince Vaughns, still
playing
right?
Vince. Yeah. I mean, it's still playing Vince Vaughn in everything. Doesn't really have another character.
Well, I'm still watching Shoresy, so at least I'm...
there you go.
I'm on season two.
All right, this week, the pizza movie comes out on Hulu. This is the Dustin from Stranger Things and the kid from the Goldbergs movie. So it looks pretty funny.
When is Pizza the Movie going to come out?
This is just Pizza Movie.
I know. Pizza the Movie was the dudesy movie. Goldberg.
People were saying that it's gave people a lot of Dungeon Crawler Carl vibes.
Oh, yeah.
The movie?
This pizza movie that he's talking about.
This looks good, though. I'm going to check it out.
What else?
Your Friends and Neighbors comes back for season two. John Hamm. This is the show by the guy that made Banshee and Warrior.
A lot of nudity in it?
Yeah, there's some.
John Hamm?
No.
Olivia Munn was.
Any dong shots? Olivia Munn
was a little nude.
I want dong shots, baby.
Yeah. The more dong, the better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, baby.
Hey, watch DTF St. Louis. There's plenty of dong in that.
Okay. Well, number three, Jeff, I'm definitely going to watch.
Yeah, The Boys final season comes out on the 8th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still haven't watched it.
You think Homelander's going to die?
No, I think he's going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
It'll just be him sitting lonely on top of a mountain somewhere.
Burnt earth. All right. Thank you. We'll be talking about The Boys, but not too much because Lizzie doesn't watch it. I don't want to bore her.
Well, I told you about how like we turned it on thinking it was like a fun
and the girl
superhero.
Explodes.
Yeah. It's hard for me. I have to pick and choose what I'm going to watch because I'm with Al all the time. You know what I mean?
All right. We can do some staff picks. Today I watched Normal, which I keep calling Nobody because it's the same producer and the same actor. But anyway, Normal. I still haven't seen Nobody 2. Have you guys seen
Nobody 2 was pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah, I imagine it is.
It was like Nobody on the road.
Yeah. Okay.
But who would have thought that that Bob Odenkirk would become an action guy? I love it. Normal with Bob Odenkirk comes out on April 16th, I believe, from Magnolia Pictures. He's a temporary sheriff in this town called Normal. I believe it's Minnesota. It's a state like that where it's cold and snows all the time. And Henry Winkler plays the mayor. And I'm not going to give any spoilers whatsoever. I will be interviewing the producer, who's from Atlanta. Be interviewing the producer, which will air on the 11th of April on WSB. But, you know, so I got a screener copy. And I was hooked in the first minute. And it's just good. The story is good. Lena Headley's good. So if you're into movies like that, that's my staff pick.
I was going to do the new Papa John's sandwiches as my staff pick, but I got one today and it was fucking terrible.
You should have known that before you bought it.
What kind of sandwich was it?
You know how Domino's has those sandwiches? They're trying to compete with that.
Oh, they're hot subs and stuff?
Steak and cheese.
It was bad.
Sandwich with peppers. And it was so fucking dry. I had to slather it with my own mayonnaise before it was edible.
You mean you jerked off on it?
No.
Gross.
I was not going to say that.
I have this fear when I eat like a Burger King, like chicken sandwich.
Uh-huh.
But there's too much mayo on it. I'm like, holy shit, did they jerk off on my sandwich? Like, and it's mixed in here. Like, it's a fear of mine.
When I worked at McDonald's in high school, is when we got the salads. And for fun, I would go out and rip out pubes and put them in the salad.
Shut up. You did not. See, I have a fear of stuff like that.
I was the only one ever.
Would you just do it, like, randomly, or would it be a customer that made you mad?
No, you pre-made the salads in a big bowl.
So you didn't care?
It was pube roulette.
You are a sociopath.
It was only a couple of pubes.
The sandwich was so dry. I took two bites and then I was like, I'm not even going to eat this. But then I went and got mayonnaise out of the fridge and put it on, and then it was okay. But
sometimes mayonnaise is the cure all for everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dustin, you have one? What'd you buy this week?
This week, they came out with the 4K edition of Repo Man from 1984.
Nice.
Emilio Estevez and Harry Dean Stanton. One of the weirdest movies that I ever seen growing up. It was one of the ones that came out on HBO. And really, I hadn't known Emilio Estevez. It kind of introduced me to him. And then everything else that came after it was so different than this movie.
Is that the one with like the Green Goblin on the,
no,
on the truck?
That's Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right. But really good. And it looks amazing in 4K because every time I'd ever seen it, even on television, it looked like they were, you know, projecting it through a glass of milk.
Right.
I did Send Help, which is
good.
Was it good?
It is. It's good. It's good. Rachel McAdams does a really good job in it. And it's funny.
Yeah,
but also like fun. Intense too. But it's so weird because has like, as an actress, like she grosses you out within the first part of the movie.
No, really.
Yeah, you're like, ew, that's a gross woman. She's got like tuna fish on her face and she's like all awkward. And
Sam Raimi's daughter.
Yeah, it's the first time Sam Raimi's done kind of like a horror comedy kind of thing.
It's good. It's good. It's worth it. But it's we paid a stupid amount of money just to rent it. So
you rented it.
Better wait till it streams. Yeah.
That's what. So if you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have two new stickers that we're going to be sending out to everybody. Everybody gets two. That's already on there. That's at the $5 and up level. So that's our base level. If you want to do that, that's fantastic. We would love it if you would do that. $5, you know, that's almost a gallon of gas these days. I understand that, but anyway, or you can join up and be a producer for $25 a month, and you are getting yourself a T-shirt from our T-shirt shop, and you get a message. Well, see, I'm fading. You get a shout-out every week for being an executive producer. And this week, I want to say thank you to Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D., Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, and Pat Turner. Thank you guys very, very much. And I don't think I'm missing anybody, but if I am, please let me know. And as always, when you're a Patreon member, you are eligible to win a pair of tickets to go to an upcoming Punchline show. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Radio Labyrinth. Thank you guys very much. Please remember to leave comments on the YouTube. Fight with each other. Yell at. We don't care. Just leave comments. Light. Like, rate, review, all that stuff. Share it with your friends. That's what pushes us out into the algorithm. We've been doing well lately, so please share us. And definitely comment. That's the key, right? We forgot to mention the Patreon. So, unless I'm forgetting everything, please remember to
keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.